Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Y'all ready for our Bible study?
Yeah.
All right, hold up your Bible. Give the devil a migraine. You ready? Okay, say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My heart is ready. My mind is open. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best Sunday shout, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just praise Him right now for just a few seconds? Just begin to worship the Lord right there where you're at. Just begin to thank Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you today. We worship you today. We magnify you today. We glorify your name today. We thank you for what you're about to do in this place today, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you're in the house. You're here today. You know every need. You know every question. You know every hurt. You know everything that's going on. Come on, church. Let's just praise Him right now. Just praise Him with your voices right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you today. We thank you for the word that it will not return void. It will accomplish what it's sent out to do. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Open your Bible today to the book of Jude. Jude, there's one chapter. We're in a series on the struggle is real. The struggle is real. You know, you and I, we live in a broken world, and because of the curse, because the world is broken, Jesus said that in the world you'd have struggle, you'd have stress, you'd have tests and tribulation, but He said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world for you. Everyone in this sanctuary and everyone online, all of us are in some kind of a struggle today. Maybe it's a financial struggle, maybe it's a physical struggle, a mental struggle. Maybe it's relational, maybe it's parenting, but we're all of God's children have struggles. Can I have an amen? Old MacDonald had a farm. Here's struggle, there's struggle, everywhere's struggle. We all have struggles that we're going through. And last weekend, I shared with you some of my struggles, and y'all came up and said, Pastor, we feel so sorry for you afterwards. So I'm not going to share any more of my struggles with you today, but y'all know I got some struggles. Amen. But God is good and God is faithful, and we all have struggles. Either you're in one, or you just exited one, or you're about to enter one. All of God's children have a struggle. And so what I want to do today, though, is I want to talk to you about the greatest struggle in the life of a Christian. The greatest struggle in the life of a Christian. And then what I want to do is I want to take you to the Word of God, and I want to give you two stories. And then we're going to conclude with three takeaways on how to apply it to our life. Is that okay with you all today, church? So I want to talk to you about the greatest struggle that a Christian has. You see, what you and I may be going through today is not the greatest struggle. Even if it's financial or physical or mental or social, whatever that might be, that's not your greatest struggle as a Christian. Well, Pastor, what is our greatest struggle? Well, I'm going to take you to the Word of God, and let's let the Word of God speak to each and every one of us today and find out what the greatest struggle is. Let's go to Jude. There's only one chapter, verse 1. Jude, verse 1. From Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. So Jude and James were half-brothers of Jesus. They grew up in the same household. From Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those whom God has called. Isn't it good to know every one of us in this room, we have a calling on our life? How cool is that? To those who are called, who live in the love of God the Father and in safekeeping of Jesus Christ. Next verse. Three things, mercy, peace, and love be yours, I like this, to the fullest measure, the fullest measure. Verse 3. Now, verse 3 is going to tell us the Christian's greatest struggle in life, the greatest struggle. And I chose the New English Bible paraphrase because it says it like that. My friends, I was fully engaged in writing to you about our salvation, which is yours no less than ours. When it became urgently necessary to write at once to appeal to you to join in the what, church? The struggle. Let's all say it together, the struggle. Now let's look at the context. He's talking to Christians, am I right? He's talking to born-again believers, followers of Christ. And he says, you know, I was going to talk to you about our salvation, but I found it very urgent for me to talk to you about, I think the King James says, contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. And here in the New English Bible, for the word contending, it says struggling, the struggle. Now, this is the greatest struggle in a Christian's life. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because in the Greek language, New Testament Greek, this is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. This is the only time the word contend, the Greek word, or struggle, is used in the New Testament. Now, all through the New Testament, we see words like fight, the good fight of faith. Am I right, church? We wrestle, right? We cast down. It talks about spiritual warfare, and it uses all kinds of metaphors that we're in a battle, that we're in a struggle, that we're in a fight as born-again believers on this planet. But here, it's very interesting. In this verse, this is the only time this word in the Greek is used in the New Testament. In front of this word in the Greek is the preface epi. It's where we get the word epic. So that tells us that this is the greatest, highest, strongest struggle in the life of a believer. What is that? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. Let's look at it. He said it was necessary to write at once and to appeal to you to join the struggle in the defense of the faith which God entrusted to his people once and for all. So the faith here is a reference to the word of God that was preached to them, the gospel. The good news. Well, break it down for me, Pastor. All right, the greatest struggle in the life of a believer is when you're in a struggle to look at your struggle and believe the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, and speak the Word of God until your circumstances change. The greatest struggle is holding on to our confession, not wavering, not watering it down, not compromising it, not trying to get the word to conform to our circumstances, but to get our circumstances to conform to the word of God. The greatest struggle is that when we're in a struggle, that we don't give up, that we don't quit, that we don't let go, that we don't compromise, give in, or waver, that we don't add to it or take away, but we say, God said it, that settles it, I believe it, I'm going to speak the word of God until my circumstances change. Come on, somebody, don't patty cake. Y'all at home, put down that donut. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Isn't that the greatest struggle? The greatest struggle is not the struggle that we're in. The greatest struggle, according to this, is that when we're in a struggle, is to speak to the struggle the word of God and to not let off or let down, but hold on to our confession of faith without wavering until the circumstances change in Jesus' name. Now, let me give you a couple illustrations from the Bible. Is that okay, church? Y'all still with me? Oh, y'all doing so good on a rainy day. Let's look at a couple illustrations in the Bible. Go with me, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, this is about Jesus. He's coming out of the wilderness of the temptation, right? So it reads like this. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Next verse. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward was hungered. Next verse. And the devil said to him, who's talking? The devil. And the devil said to him, if if you be the Son of God, command the stone that it should be made bread. Now, he's in a struggle, wouldn't you say? He's in a battle, spiritual warfare. He's in a struggle, the devil. You know, we know what our enemy is today, right? It's the devil, it's the flesh, and it's our culture, the world system. And here we have the adversary coming against Jesus, trying to cause doubt. He's in a struggle. And what does Jesus do in the struggle? He simply says, it is written. What is the greatest struggle for a believer in the midst of a struggle is making sure your first response out of your mouth is the Word of God. Making sure that that's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. We're not going to cuss. We're not going to curse. We're not going to blame. We're not going to make excuses. Come on, somebody. We're not going to give in. We're not going to quit. We're not going to water it down. But we're going to stand strong and tall and face the struggle. And in the struggle, we're going to rise up and declare, it is written. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Pastor, I don't get it. I'm new to church, and I don't understand. It is written. What does that mean? Well, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. What did Jesus do? He was quoting the Word of God, an Old Testament verse in the book of Deuteronomy. So what's the greatest struggle in the life of a Christian? It's not the everyday struggles we go through. It's that in the struggle that you determine and make up your mind, you're going to believe the Word of God. You're going to stand on the Word of God. You're going to speak the Word of God without wavering or letting go until the circumstances change and align themselves up with the Word of God. You're going to declare, it is written, thus saith the Lord. Can I have a witness in the house? Okay, so look what he says. Next verse. Jesus answered and said, it is written. Can you say that with me? It is written. It is written, and he quotes an Old Testament verse, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. No matter what it looks like, no matter how hard, how hot, how long, no matter what you and I are going through, the struggle, the disappointment, the rejection, the pain, the situation, don't let go of a thus saith the Lord. Don't let go of it is written. Well, I will share with you one thing, one struggle Kevin and I went through. You want to know? You really want to know? Boy, you're nosy today. You guys really want to know? A couple of weeks ago, you know, in the mail, out of nowhere, came a $20,000 bill in the mail. Now, I was going to the mailbox looking for an inheritance. And we got an unexpected bill for $20,000 out of nowhere, personal. We thought, oh, my goodness. But you know what? Thanks be unto God. Oh, if I'm lying, I'm frying. Glory be to God. The first thing out of our mouth was this. But my God will supply my every need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What is that? That it is written. Amen. We don't bow. We don't bend. We don't burn. Come on, somebody. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to add to it or take it away. We're not going to water it down. We're going to believe the Word of God. We're going to stand on the Word of God. And we're going to speak the Word of God to the struggle until the circumstances change. Can I give you another illustration from the Bible? Mark chapter 4. And this is the parable of the sower sows the seed. Mark chapter 4. Y'all know, many of you know that, right? Different types of ground. And let's just look at it. And Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. That's what I've been doing for the last 15 minutes, right, church? The sower is the speaker, the proclaimer, the teacher, and the seed is the word of the living God. So the sower soweth the word, and that's what pastor's doing this morning here in this service for the last few minutes. Next verse. And these are they by the wayside where the what? Word. And that's the Bible, right, church? That's scriptures. Though the word is sown, when they have heard it, Satan comes next Tuesday. No. Next Thursday afternoon? No, before you get out of the sanctuary. Before you get on the parking lot. Before you get in your car. Before you get out on the road. He comes immediately to do what? Steal the what? The word that you heard. How do you know you're in the right church? If you're fed there? What should be the reason that you pick a church? You should pick it over the teaching and preaching of the Word of the living God. Notice he doesn't come to steal the worship. He doesn't come to steal our programs. He doesn't come to steal our plans. But he does come immediately to steal the Word, because he does not want you to stand on the Word in the midst of your struggle, believe it, and speak it until your circumstances change. The number one thing he's out to get from you and me is the Word of the living God. Can y'all see that today? Because that's what's going to put you and I over, right? I'm coming over here. That's what is going to put you and I over, right? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the Word, actually in the Greek, it says the Word in your testimony. Not the Word of your testimony, but the Word in your testimony. What's the number one thing he doesn't want you and I to be in every day? The B-I-B-L-E. What's the number one thing that he wants us not to look at and meditate on? The B-I-B-L-E. What is he after today? Before you get out, what is he? He's going to send, not in our church, but some other church, Sister Sourpuss, Brother Sandpaper, to come across your path to try to offend us, to steal the Word. Because the greatest struggle in the life of a Christian is not our everyday struggles, but it's in the struggle to remind ourselves, refresh ourselves, renew our mind, to stand on the Word, to believe the Word, and speak the Word. It is written until our circumstances change. Can y'all give God a big praise right now? Come on, let's thank Him for the Word. Amen. So He comes immediately to take away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Next verse, verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the Word, immediately they receive it with gladness, verse 17, but they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a time. And afterwards, why do struggles come? Affliction, persecution arises for the... What's the devil after? The Word in your life. What does he want you to keep from standing on? The Word in your life. What does he want to keep you from meditating on? He'd rather you be in Facebook than get your face in the... I just had to say that, didn't I? He'd rather you be on Facebook than get your face in the book. Somebody said, 1 week without the Word makes 1 week. Wow. So what is he after today? What's our greatest struggle as a Christian? It's to hold on to the Word. It's to stand on Scripture. It's not to back off. It's not to water it down. You know, it's not to change it. So many churches and movements today are saying the Word isn't relevant. It's not for today. Let's make a new one. How many know the Bible says we're not to add to it and we're not to take away from it? If God said it, that settles it. I want to stand on it. We're going to believe it and we're going to speak it. Day and night, night and day, until the circumstances change. Amen, church. So let me give you some takeaways today before we have communion this morning. Let me give you some tools. Let me give you some thoughts. The guys will have it on the screen. Number one, ask God for a hunger for His Word. Ask God for a hunger for God's Word. The guys put it on the screen for us. They're awesome. You see, Pastor, I really don't have a hunger for God's Word. Well, ask God to give you one. Pastor, you know the Word, the Bible, you know, I just don't get it. I get that. I just don't really have a desire for it. I can't understand it. You know what is so cool? There's so many different paraphrases today. Makes it so easy. And I get it. I don't have a hunger for it, Pastor. What do? Ask God to give you the desire. And He will, won't He, church? Ask God to give you the hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Yeah? So ask God, number one, to give you a hunger for God's Word. Number two, develop a daily habit. Develop a daily habit for God's Word. You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day of a sports psychologist, you know, and he coaches tough mental mindset for a lot of teams. And he said this. I thought it was so good. He said, the difference between an amateur and a professional is their habits. Is that true or what? The difference between an amateur or a professional is their, not the color of their skin, not their economics, not their education, not their background, not their network or net worth. Come on, somebody. It's their daily habits, right? A good friend of mine said that your future is hidden in your daily routine. Your future is hidden in your daily routine. Somebody said we make our habits and our habits make us. So notice that if you and I, if we want to conquer the greatest struggle in the life of a believer, then ask God for a greater hunger for His Word. And then number two is develop a daily habit to be in God's Word. And number three, as the team comes out, get hooked on the book. Get hooked on the book. The Apostle Paul actually said in the New Testament, he was addicted to the Word of God. Wow, can't live without it. So get hooked on the book. Why, Pastor? We'll pick this up to be continued next weekend, but three reasons why the guys have it. Number one, or letter A, is because that the Word of God will build our faith. The Word of God will build our faith. Wow. Number two, or letter B, what will it do? It will give you success and prosperity. Joshua 1:8. It'll give you, the Word will give you success and prosperity. And I like it there. It says good success. You see, I don't want anybody I pastor to have bad success. I don't want you to lose your health or your family or your kids or your reputation over prosperity and success. I want you to have good success and prosperity. And number three, or letter C, why get hooked on the book is because it will heal your body. Oh, I like that. Not only will it heal your body, but did you know this, church, in Proverbs chapter 4, it'll bring health. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? Oh, yeah, there's a big difference between healing and health. There's a big difference between healing and health. If you need healing here today, the healer's in the house. But then God wants to take us one step farther and live in divine health. How good is God? Amen, church. Did y'all get something? Give the Lord a praise for the Word today, would you? Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.